just dead religion. It's loving Him, and it's putting Him first place in your life. It really is. It's knowing Jesus died for you. That was the difference when I went to a denominational church. And the difference between religion and having a relationship. It's like being married. It's totally, totally different. And that's when your life starts to go upwards. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Thank you. You know, he was talking about that. Yeah, and I've thought about looking at a different house, even, you know, maybe not so much property, and now we got so anyway, but I'm finding that I've almost dedicated my whole life to the church and haven't even had time to do that. Because I kept, you know, and it's time maybe. And it's just like, okay, birthing the baby. You're talking about my dream was to have live music. And it's finally, the baby's starting to come out. and you know, and it takes something. We've got to practice and keep going, you know, at it. And the baby's coming out. But hallelujah. Now, see, okay, I asked him in the middle of the thing, because I realized lately I haven't been preparing for the tithes and offerings or even thinking about it. And I go, duh, what's with me? And so I went over there and asked him. Now, I want to tell you something about that, though. If he wouldn't stay full, if he wouldn't stay full of God. Now, do you see? I mean, God put him in a job where he's in this car alone, you know, and you can even listen to CDs if he wants to, you know, and he's still, I mean, he's got a good reputation for arresting people or the ones that need to be arrested. But he's also kind to those that, you know, that he, see, there's that discernment from the Holy Spirit, what, you know, a lady with a whole bunch of babies in the back and no car seats and no money. And you know what? And he's easy on him. But if somebody's doing drugs, you know, and because he tells me stories. But see, at breakfast, I mean, he was listening to a sermon. Then he was meditating on these scriptures. You know, and those are the things that we need to do every day. You stay full. And when you stay full, you're led by the Holy Spirit. And when you stay full, you're ready for stuff. You're ready to minister to people. You're ready. I remember once they said something about casting out some demons or something. This was way back in the old church. In fact, it was the one your mother married. And then it wasn't right, though. Anyway, said, well, we've got to fast and pray for 3 days before we could do that. And I went, I'm ready right now. I never thought nothing of it. And I just saw that, though, and I didn't understand why, but I just thought everybody got into the Word every day, and everybody, you know, was excited. I don't know. You know, but you have to stay full every single day. Okay, so, you know, I just know that there's been a lot of sickness going around, and just a lot of the enemy's been attacking people, and even in this church. And I couldn't figure out what until it was 3:30, and I'm going, I know. I wanted to talk on sickness, but this is something I've talked about before, and we'll just briefly go over it again. But you know what? We shouldn't have to make a conscious effort to have faith. Faith in anything, and even faith, we have to increase our faith to go to a higher place. And you know, I just sometimes, don't you wish you could just go back and be young again? Young people, you don't have to answer me. I want to go, I wish I would have had all that teaching. I wish I'd known that way back, you know? Ooh, yeah, whew. But anyway, But if you feed on the word constantly, you are going to have faith. And faith is not a struggle. Because the entrance of the word, now the entrance of the word in your eyes, going down into your heart, give you light on everything. And you're going to know what to do. And people struggle with faith because they need more of it. You got, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. Okay, so even this is it Omicron, whatever thing, you know, going around. It's like, you know, they're saying that it's not even as bad as the regular flu, that they wanted you to get a flu shot of all the time. And see, you people, there's just fear out there. So much crazy fear. And we've got to watch the fear thing. The more you fear something, the more it gets inside of you. Now, do you remember that, and I've said this a lot of times, that there's three ways that sickness gets in. And first one is that you lose your peace. Okay. Galatians 3:13 says we're redeemed from the curse of the law. Why? I'm not even going to put the scripture up. Is we're redeemed from the curse of the law because Jesus became a curse for us. And that's the truth. And so you've got to believe that. You can't just go, Jesus, blah, blah, blah. You know what? Jesus, he redeemed us from the curse of the law in the Old Testament. And he did it through his blood, through the blood covenant. And we've got to... We can unknowingly give place to sickness, and a lack of knowledge makes us perish. A lack of knowledge of all of that, and you have to constantly, when it comes to that part of it, you constantly, I had a lot of lack of sleep when we went to California because our reservations were canceled at the last minute, and then at 3 o'clock. Sonia, she calls me at 2:30 in the morning and says, we got a plane ticket. Can you be ready by 3:15? Yeah, but I was actually almost all packed anyway because I thought we were leaving the next day. But and we did it. I forgot some stuff, but it wasn't a big deal. I'd rather hear the word than I don't care, you know. But what was I going to say about that? Oh, you know, just a lack of sleep and stuff, your immune system gets down, and you know, there was, at first, when I came there, I went, oh, the bed looks so nice. I got up in the morning, I thought, I just want to go back in, because I had some symptoms, and I thought, no, what do you preach? I looked myself in the mirror, and I said, what do you preach? You keep moving on. We went to 13 services, day and night. I mean, morning and night, all the time. 13 services, which you fill up. Okay, but let's go to Mark 5, verse 21. Now, is everybody reading their daily thing? So what was today's about? I think he was ahead. You were ahead. I could tell. It was the sower sows the word in Matthew 13. And honestly, that shouldn't be that hard for you to read one chapter and really kind of meditate. Matthew's chapters are long, but they're so interesting. Ooh, they're so. What did I say? Mark 5, didn't I? Mark 5, yeah. 21. I didn't get there yet. Okay. Okay, and Jesus was passed over again, King James, again by the ship into the other side, and much people gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, there comes one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet. And besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. I pray thee come and lay hands on her, and she may be healed, and she shall live. So, right there, Jairus made a confession of faith. He said, you lay hands on her, she shall live. You know, when you got, even when you come up here, you think, if I have hands laid on me, see, that's a point of contact. I will be healed, but you've got to receive that healing when that happens. See, and Jesus went with him, and much people followed and thronged him. And a certain woman, here comes this woman, though. She's, okay, well, now, Jairus wasn't occupied with all the details of sickness. He was more occupied that we are with the history of a disease. It's the symptoms and what it has done to you and what lies ahead in the future. See, if you start thinking about what lies ahead, and a doctor will tell you certain things, you have this blah, 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 and this is what's going to happen in the future. Your bones are going to start to deteriorate, and you're going to start to feel symptoms in your back, and blah, 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 blah. Your joints are going to do this. You cannot listen to that stuff, because the more you think about it, the more you look it up online, and instead of the Word of God, the more you're going to lose your peace about the symptoms. Okay. So, now, here comes this woman with the issue of blood. And this is a ruler of the synagogue. And women with the issue of blood were not allowed in public, or they would be stoned. That was the law. And here she's talking, she starts telling Jesus, you know, about, she had suffered many things of many physicians. And, you know, they used to do bloodletting. You know, she was probably bleeding, and so they did more bloodletting of her veins. That's how they thought they would cure. Can you imagine that? Do you know now there's even methods where they take, what do you call those things? Leeches, yeah, uh-huh. Leeches. And they, I had one stuck in my toe once from a lake when I was like 10 years old, and I went, what is that? I know I took a towel and I went, and pulled it out. Anyway, I'd never seen one before. But she spent all she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. And when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press. In other words, people were pressing so close to each other that they were actually, you know, like a big crowd of people. There was press. There was a lot of pressure. And she came from behind, and she touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. That was a point of contact right there, too. And immediately, it says, straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. Immediately. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that something went out of him, virtue went out of him. Virtue means power. Power went out of him. And he turned about in the press and said, who touched me? And they, you know, the disciples kind of made fun of him, because they said, what do you mean? We're like shoulder to shoulder, back to back people, and everybody's touching you. You know, and they didn't realize that was anointing in Jesus. Okay, and so she knew that happened, and she told him all the truth. But here's that ruler of the synagogue. But really, he didn't care. In verse 34, it says, and he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go now. Here's what he said to her. He said to her to go in peace and be whole of your plague. In other words, if you're going to get in fear and worry and doubt and unbelief, and actually I'm naming all of the things that bring sickness under that peace, that when you lose your peace, it gets worse. And he said to her, and you know, to some of them, he said, lady, go and sin no more. But this time he said, go in peace and keep your peace, and you will be healed of your plague or it could come back. And that's huge. Sometimes because we go or we feel these symptoms, and they may even bring fear into us. I mean, I've been there, you know, in the airport, and I probably shouldn't even tell you, but when we were going home, our plane kept getting delayed again, and but then I get off, we get off this one plane, and I thought, oh, I feel weird. I mean, I felt really weird, like dizzy, kind of, and I thought, the devil says, and I'm half tired, you know, and the devil says, oh, your blood pressure is sky high. You're going to have a stroke. I said, shut up. I didn't tell you guys that, but that's what I was. And then I even said, you know what? Even though they give you, you know, in an airport, I thought, you know what? I think I'm really hungry. And so I didn't care. I got a hamburger. I never eat the buns. I ate the whole thing. And that, and that hamburger and a... said, do you want cheese on it? I said, yeah. It's an extra dollar. You know how much that hamburger was? $21. That's how much. I thought, man, I could go to In-N-Out Burger and it would taste better, but I don't care. I'm hungry. And then they said, do you want French fries? That's another $2.75. I went, no, I'll just take the chips in there. I ate every one of the chips. I ate the bun, the whole thing. And you know what? I felt good. You don't even know when you're hungry. Okay, I don't know why I brought that up. Okay, I brought it up, I guess, to just to say that something, you know, it goes through you, and you, the devil will try to start talking to you, or those thoughts come, and you've got to rebuke them. Just like in that hotel. No, I came here to get filled with the word, and I am not staying here and saying, no, I can skip a service. No way. No, I'm always think I'm going to be left out of something. But, okay, now, all of a sudden, though, while, you know, Jesus is talking to that lady, and here comes the servants from the ruler of the synagogue, and it says, while Jesus yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the master? And you know, that ruler of the synagogue could have gotten upset because this lady took up his time. She took up a lot of his time. Verse 36, though, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, though, and I could just see him, he probably whipped around like this, and he said to him, be not afraid, only believe. And in other words, shut your mouth. Now, somebody tell you your daughter is dead, and say Victoria is dead, say Octavia is dead. I mean, you go, oh my gosh, you know, but he couldn't say anything. Can you, now, put yourself in there. Really? You'd go, oh, but see, he went, be not afraid, only believe. In other words, and he suffered no man to follow him except Peter and James and John. Just think, the rest of his disciples, he couldn't even trust them. Although they were his disciples, he never, if you know, it was always Peter, James, and John. Because they would have unbelief when he brought them in on some of these healings. You can't have people with unbelief. And he came to the house of the ruler and the synagogue, and he saw the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. And in fact, in those days, they deliberately would go, oh, they did wail and do that. They would even hire people to make it. They would hire people to do that. And when he was come in, he said to them, why are you making all this ado and weeping? The damsel is not dead, but sleeps. And here they come. Ha, ha, ha. What are you talking about? She's dead. Do you know, I heard either Keith Moore or Jesse Duplantis or somebody from that whole Kenneth Copeland group say, It was actually even, it said they laughed him to scorn that even some of his other disciples were doing that. Jesus' disciples.
Danny Hallett said that. Remember?
No, well, it was Kenneth Copeland. Danny Hallett. Anyway, but when he had put them all out, there might be times when you pray for somebody, a whole bunch of people want to come with you. No. You got to have people that believe. And that's why I don't go for a whole bunch of prayer chains. Oh, I have 5 churches praying for me. No wonder I'm not getting healed. You've got to have people who are walking in faith. That's why you don't have long prayer chains. We can have a prayer chain, but it might be just some of the people in our intercessory prayer group that we ever call and pray. Because you've got to use the word and you've got to believe in faith and not say, oh, guess what? So-and-so is dying. That it isn't what you say. You know? It said when he put them all out, he took the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him and entered in where she was lying. He took her by the hand and said to her, Talitha kumi, which is interpreted damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And immediately the damsel arose and walked. For she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly to no man should know it. And this is kind of interesting. They said, but give her something to eat. She was weak. And they, you know, otherwise you probably would, if you take her to the hospital, she would have gotten an IV. But, you know, the enemy can steal your peace. And if he steals your peace, he steals your health. And there is a connection between peace and healing. And I know that I've done that in the past. Or just like right now, there's a lot of IRS stuff done. There's deadlines. I mean, till the end of the month, there's a lot going on. I had a lot of stuff to do. And then it was a lot of phone calls, and I was starting to, there was something I couldn't find, and then, and I thought, you're starting to lose your peace, and it was just like, I thought, I had to settle down, and thought, I am not going to put up with this, because there's a lot of symptoms out there right now, and there are, there's a lot of people, and you can get sick and be tormented by the devil. And sometimes you can see the fear in people's eyes. And we cannot have this fear of this thing. This whole thing, when it started out, that fear factor was the thing that made it go ridiculously wild. And it's still, this is all fear. We never feared when we had the flu, which is worse than this. You know, yes, people died. A lot of the things were fake that they did. If they died of a heart attack, they put it was COVID. You know? I mean, I talked to people from Kenya that were there, and that this lady, she's under Keith Butler. She's a pastor. And her father got COVID, and they stuck him in this place, like a leper colony. They couldn't even visit or anything, and she demanded to get in there. And she said they weren't even feeding him. And he was dying of that more than anything. See, there weren't any IVs or anything like that. This was in Kenya. But, you have to keep your faith up, especially now. And don't lose your peace. And if you feel like you're losing your peace, stop something that you're doing. Stop. Get yourself to a point where you trust God with all your heart. No matter what's going on, don't lean to your own understanding. Don't lean to all this talk and the doctor's talk. And I'm not saying don't. Okay. Most of the people that have died from all of this have been, there was underlying conditions. diabetes, even Lamb, you know, on...
Yeah,
Marcus Lamb. He had diabetes.
Yeah.
Your immune system is quite as strong.
Yeah.
And he couldn't fight it off.
Yeah.
You see, there's always or heart trouble
yeah.
or there's something there.
Yeah.
There's something there with all of these things. Even that, I'll tell you what, the reason you can keep going on is to, I've seen people with as high as 15 pills a day from doctors, 11 pills a day, and the more, and the counter one pill counteracts the other pill. The more pills you take, even for, I know I'm on. Okay, the more pills you take, even for high blood pressure, your kidneys break down. And I've seen people in this church die of kidney disease because of high blood pressure. And I am not kidding you. I know for a fact. Be careful of this. Be in tune with God. God will tell you what to take and what not to take. I've taken things in the past because I knew I was supposed to. And just for a while. There was a time when my blood pressure was 220 over 110. And it was because I went, no, my knee, I can't walk. I can't stop preaching. I can't stop doing this. And see, I got into panic. I can remember somebody helped me out the door. You know, that was way back, Tabitha. We were having a shower for Mandy. That's when it was. I'll never forget it. And I when I went to the Ortho Nebraska, you know, to check it out, my blood pressure was 220 over 100. And they kept taking it. They kept letting me sit there. And they said, well, you know, over the weekend, go to the emergency room if you have a headache. Or I thought, oh, yeah. You know, and I think I took some high blood pressure pills for a month. And then it all tapered down, and I knew I had to get with God. Yeah, I didn't expect to say all this. What I'm just trying to teach you or tell you something. Please, trust in God more. Ask him what to take and what not to take. I'm pumping up vitamins right now. Yeah, I am. Good ones, you know. You got... Get that stuff in. Get your immune system high. And so that we can continue to preach the gospel because your body is important in these last days also. So the devil will steal your peace. And you know that the chastisement of our peace came upon Jesus. But okay, now he purchased our peace and we've got to guard our peace. I don't care if it's from family, who it is. Guard your peace. Don't give place to the devil. That's a command. Huh. Thou shalt not steal. This is more of a command. Now we're in the New Testament. It says, neither give place to the devil. And we can give place to the devil. See, he can't take your peace. He tries to do it. But you got to give it to him. And he can't do anything to you that he wants unless you open the door to it. The devil can't do anything to you unless you're opening that door. And when we yield your peace, you give him a place and sickness can come. Okay, so I love in John 14:27, it says that he gave us his peace. And you know, like I meditated on that once, and in the Amplified, I think it said actually says he bequeathed his peace to us. And I thought that's like an inheritance, like you know, somebody makes out a will, and he says I bequeath my peace, Jesus's peace, to those who follow me. And I went, he gave it to us. I mean, what? Oh, that's better than $1 million. It is. Peace is huge. Peace doesn't mean the absence of war, though, either. Peace can mean you do a warfare with the devil. Okay, so you have got, okay, so how do you lose your peace? And you lose your peace, number one, from worry. You know, you can get overtired, you can have symptoms, and you know you're not as like, you know, and that force of faith, you know, starts to kind of go downhill. That's why keep yourself full in the good times. You can worry about your body and stop the healing. See, how do you know if you're worrying? What are you thinking about? Okay, another command of the Bible, like I said, neither give place to the devil. Fight sin like you would fight somebody trying to steal from your house. Okay, but Philippians 4:4 on, and I'll just quote it to you for lack of time. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Well, it's like rejuicing. Rejoice. Rejoy yourself. Come on. See, your joy is the thing that kills your life. And I know that. You can get into depression. You just say, I'm going to joy. I'm going to laugh at it. Yeah. Okay, now, I know. Debbie Baronic said a joke. I think she said it to quite a few people, but it was funny. She said, I went and got out some clothes from about 5 years ago, and I tried them on, and they still fit. The clothes was a scarf. I don't know why. And I was trying to study, and I heard my phone go off, and I went, oh, I'll press it. And I was going, I just laughed and laughed and laughed. Thank you. Yeah, scarves fit for a long time. Anyway, see, sometimes you just got to laugh. Okay, so, okay, Philippians 4, okay, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Then it says, let your gentleness or whatever, your temperance be made known to all men, for the Lord is at hand. And this is the way I say this part. Do not, Jackie, be anxious or fearful or worried or upset or stressed out about anything. Now, knock it off. That's the way I say that scripture. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And I'll start talking to God. Because that supplication, God, I know I'm not acting right. Forgive me. And Lord, I know I just got too wound up in the IRS. I've got to trust you more. You know, just do it like that. And then the next verse says, finally, brethren, finally, brothers and sisters in Christ. Think, this is a psychology scripture. Think on things, that's a command. Think on things that are true and honest. I don't know if I'm saying it. True and honest and just, justice, and pure and lovely and of a good report. And you think, what am I thinking on? Yeah. Ooh. And sometimes I think, whoa, I'm not thinking on pure, honest, just truth, you know, and you have to change. See, if you know that's inside of my spirit, that whole scripture thing, because that's one of his commands. See, there's commands in the New Testament. If you're not commanding him, what's going to happen? Devils will come into your life. All right. So Matthew 6:25 says, take no thought. Take no thought for what you're going to wear. Take no thought for your body. When you're too body conscious, you open the door to sickness and disease. Oh, my gosh, they got COVID. Oh, I think, you know, you know what? I know that there's people are being diagnosed with COVID again. But it isn't even, it's got to be the other kind. And well, people are dying in the hospital. Most of them are dying because it would be just like they said there are more people have died from the flu in the past. Sure. You know, if it's the swine flu and then it's the Vietnam flu and this flu and that flu. Every year it's a different strain. That was worse. And they get your flu shot, get your flu shot, get your flu. You know, they emphasize that, which I never have. And I'm 82. Yeah. So, see, be careful of all that. Trust in the Lord. It's too much about your body on TV. And, you know, the motive for that is greed and money. And you know what? The prey, P-R-E-Y, is fear. It is. And the damage is it makes you body conscious instead of Word of God conscious. And we don't live the same way that unbelievers live. We're not supposed to. Now, you know what? They have to be body conscious because that's all they have. That's why we need to tell people the Word. Or we need to get people born again. But you can just get born again and it's like zero in your life. And it's nothing. You have to get into the Word of God and speak that Word and use that Word in your life. And if people are doing something dumb and stupid with their body, stop it. Right. You know what? One time I heard on TV that there's no 90-year-old obese people. It says there's, no 90-year-old obese people. They've all died off. But there are 90-year-old thinner people. And I don't mean anything bad by that. I'm not trying to, you know what? You can't treat your body wrong. See, another thing, if you don't take care of this body, where else are you going to live? I'm going to go to heaven, but what have you done on the earth? See, your body gives you permission to be here, but your body can evict you from the earth. It can evict you, and the devil would love that. If you're careless with your body, that's what he wants. He wants to get rid of you. And your body is needed by God because you are a witness. And the other thing is you can take authority over what's going on, the wrong things. So take care of your body because you're a steward of it. Don't just dump junk in it and expect to be blessed. And I'm just going to say sorry, but I mean, I had to get rid of, I'm talking about drugs, and it could be prescription drugs. Too many of them. Alcohol, cigarettes, drugs, you know, all the other stuff. See, there's a common sense side, but we still have to have faith in the Word of God and not our ability, though, to keep ourselves well. Have faith in the Word of God, but do right things with your body. Put your faith in Him. And you know what? People can even get too much into exercise programs or vitamins or diet programs. I found out if I just, you know, if I want to lose weight, you know, and I need to yet. But, I mean, I just cut down everything. Eat the same thing, but cut down everything. It works. Do all those things, but don't take your faith with it. You know what? You can take vitamins, eat right, exercise. But if there's a tornado in your home with strife, unforgiveness, jealousy, if there's envy, did you give me a Kleenex? Gossip, all those kind of things. Thank you, sir. All that stuff. If you're unkind and unloving in your own home, you think, well, I can just talk to them any old way I want. But no. You do not do that. You better honor your spouse. Both of you honor each other, or you're asking for a devil to come in there. If you're judgmental, you know what? Your body isn't going to last. There's going to be sickness. Because when you violate spiritual laws, the natural laws cannot make up for it. They can't. Use your faith, but use good sense. See, your mind was not built for worry. See, and then people have to take a whole bunch of drugs, psychiatric drugs, to get rid of that. God gave us answers in here. This is the answer. This is the only book that has lasted throughout the ages. And it will last forever. You know, all those things, okay, they say, well, you have a chemical imbalance. Well, you know how you got the chemical imbalance? From worry. From thinking your body, it starts to react. It's been proven. What do you, because they say you get the chemical imbalance first. No, you, sure, you got it because you were worried. See, thoughts bring depression and oppression, and it breaks down the immune system. It's just like a car was not built to run without oil. And when your mind conducts worry, it will kill and harm your body. Worry weakens, it breaks down the mind, and you're unable to resist the devil because you are in confusion. Have you ever gotten that way when he just kind of like bombards you? Like it tries to... And he'll do that on purpose. But you got to recognize it. Oh. Okay. you know, worry breeds another worry and has a litter of babies. Worry has a litter of babies. Yeah. You know what? The devil, see, this is how, what does the devil do? He comes to steal, and he wants to steal your peace by worry. So, and this is another thing. You got to cast down vain imaginations, like all kinds of stuff about what people think of you. And you can live in a worried lifestyle so long you don't even recognize you're worrying. It's true. Yep. And there's no, you don't even realize that you're not in peace. But now, and this, I loved this when I learned this, but I had to learn it so late in life. Anything that makes you afraid, that puts you in condemnation, that puts you down, that makes you feel less than other people, anything that makes you even feel guilty or sad or steals your joy is to be resisted. Or it makes you feel hopeless. You got to keep out the guilt and the condemnation and the fear and the worry because it's an open door to sickness. So peace is not an option. Peace is actually a weapon, and it's a safeguard. Because lack of peace, it'll affect your blood pressure, your heartbeat, your joints, your bones, your immune system. You know what? I even learned that way back in 1960 when I went to nursing school. That they said that. Doctors would say that. That same thing. Unforgiveness. They even said unforgiveness was one. It'll ruin the inside of your body. Because so peace is a safeguard. It's a weapon for you. I'm not going to keep you much longer on this. The second one, and fear is the second way. The opposite of fear is what? The opposite of fear is faith. And just think, when you're in a lot of fear, your faith is going. Finances. It's a number one thing that can cause, do you know what? If you look into marriages, it's the number one thing that causes a divorce.
Wow.
You know, and we should be happy with our spouse.
Yes,
I heard Nancy Dufresne say once, gosh, she was just in awe because somebody would even marry her. Well, see, our pocketbook shouldn't have anything to do with our spouse. That just shows selfishness on our part. But worry can destroy your children too. I mean, and it depends how you, the way you were raised too, you know. Yeah, me too. I mean, you know, some of the, we're older, and some of the ways then were, people weren't quite as loving or touchy. But I can see, you know, people don't want to hear griping and complaining all the time. Or every time they ask you a question, they get a negative. And I myself, you know, worry can destroy a whole family. Okay, 2 Timothy 1:7, do you know what it says? Did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. Yeah, do you know what? These two little girls know it by heart, because they were going, she was going like this. God did not give me a spirit of fear. He gave me power, authoritative power, love, and a sound mind. If God didn't give it, don't take it. See, you resist by words and not by thought. You know, even when we say, okay, when somebody says to say something in here, say it. You've got to learn to say it. If you're not going to say it, you're not going to get anywhere. You've got to learn. If somebody says, say this confession, say this declaration, say it. I mean, okay, I just thought of Kenneth Hagin. He, you know, he was paralyzed. He was born 1.5 pounds. I don't know how he survived without an incubator or anything. It was God. But anyway, he had, of course, a heart condition, leukemia, and something else. And he was dying. He was 17 years old. He was healed. However, there were times he said that a spirit of fear came on him for 11 years after he was healed, because he said, I could, the paralyzation of his body was so devastating. And there were times when that little bit came back on him and he would resist it and it would go away. But he was so, he said it was like that spirit of fear was following him around like a puppy dog. Yeah, and all of a sudden, and he said, one day my whole body was shaking because it felt like I was getting paralyzed again. And he said to the devil says, see, ha, 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 it's going to all come back on you. And he says, devil, I might be shaken on the outside, but look at my spirit. It's not shaken. And, you know, he said that, and the devil left just like that. Because fear cannot attach to your spirit. When you resist fear, that's one thing you need to yell at it. When you recognize it in yourself, yell at it. Okay, what else? Okay, so that's okay. Here's one example too. This was out of that book I gave you. What is that? Faith, health food. Health food devotional. Some people think that it's actually what to eat. No, it's one of the, yeah, to eat the word. No, it's total word. That's because he had another one called faith food, and so they had to name it differently. That thing is excellent. Mine is just about beat to pieces. But there were, in that book, it said there were two women with cancer of the same kind, and they both got healed in his church, in Kenneth Hagin's church. 1 year later, One of them said the symptoms were coming back to her. And the other one said, speak to it. Tell it to go. Because she too had experienced some symptoms and she was speaking to it. And she resisted it and commanded it to go in the name of Jesus. Well, the other one said, no, I just fear has come back. And you know what? All of her symptoms came back and she died. They did an autopsy on her. And there wasn't a trace of cancer in her body. Fear killed her. Fear can kill you. Just the fear of a disease can manifest in your body and not even be there. See, you get a diagnosis. And like I said, resist the lying symptoms. You know, okay, so I had breast cancer on this side. Every once in a while, it'll hurt. Something will hurt, and the devil will say, it's coming back, coming back. No, it isn't. Well, then on top of it, I went to a program. And, you know, these people are Christian, but not Spirit-filled Christians or Word of Faith. And somebody says, why don't you talk to so-and-so because she had cancer and you did too. And, you know, kind of, and so I went over there to talk to her and, you know what she said to me? She says, well, you know, it's been over 10 years since I've had that and there've been nothing. And she says, well, I know a lot of my friends who had it 10 years ago, and it all came back. And I went, okay. I went, oh, okay, well, I'm sorry to hear that. I walked away, and I thought, oh boy, I'm not going to, I don't think I can encourage her. I mean, she was mad at me. I don't know. You know, here's you know, another thing. It, like Lester Sumrall. he said, somebody, what did the devil kept saying, there's a boogeyman in the closet. Yeah. And you know what he did? He got up and kicked the door in. And another time, remember how the bed, he was in the bed, he was in a foreign country. Yeah. And the bed started going, it actually, the four legs danced out in the middle of the room. They actually danced out of there. And he went, what is going on? And he went, oh, it's just you, devil. And then he thought, he said, get out of here in the name of Jesus. Well, the devil, he said he saw the devil go out the door. Then he went, wait a minute. I got to get this bed back to the wall. And he said, get back in here and put that bed back. I mean, boy, you got to have some kind of strong faith to do that. I was thought, once I got rid of him, let him out of here. Okay, but you know what? You can grow to such a place that even with fear, you have panic attacks. I feel so sorry for people like that because they don't know any better. And that's one thing. I just want to help them so bad. I mean, it is not because you want to tell them, no, that's a spirit of fear. And I don't know. I mean, they have to. You got to learn to take your authority. But see, people like that probably aren't even Christians. They don't know any better. Okay. So we don't have time to be sick. And, you know, Dodie Osteen, you know, John Osteen. No, not John, but his son. What's his son? Joel. I knew his dad. I mean, we knew his dad. We met him, actually. I haven't even talked to him. But he passed on. But his wife, Dodie, is still alive. And with her son, Joel. And she had cancer of the liver. One of her sons is a surgeon. And those people with, when they diagnose, not cancer of the liver, cancer of the pancreas, which is worse. You go faster. They usually die within 2 to 3 weeks. Yeah. And you know what she did? She was really weak, but she said, I laid on the couch and thought, ugh. She said, no, I have to get up. I'm going to dress, and I'm even going to, she even attempted to clean her house a little bit. And you know what? Because of her stance in faith, she is still alive to this day. She's still alive. Yeah, she does, no matter what. She reads those scriptures. You can get her scriptures in the book. And I have, oh no, my phone's ringing. Yeah, so sorry about that. I'll stop pretty quick here. Okay, so you lose your peace by what? Worry, fear. The last one is doubts. You doubt the word of God. And that, like he, you know, he's meditating. You got to meditate on the word of God. Get that from your mind to your spirit man. And then you act on it. See, you act because it's an outflow of faith. You act on it. Okay, see, part of our vision of this church is to teach people the word of God. But the whole thing about that is, but then to teach them to do the word. You've got to do that word. You know, I'm thinking of who did I just say she got up? Because when I finally got there, you know, we had a day to rest, but then all of a sudden symptoms came on. And you know what, I even felt like maybe a little fever. I thought, nope, I'm not staying home. I'm just going to go there and spread it. No. Well, that's what everybody thinks. No. But I thought, I am not staying home. I came here to get the word, and I'm going to get. And I thought, you've got to practice what you preach. And sometimes you've got to push yourself forward. You know what? The Bible says, press forward to the mark of the high call of God in Christ Jesus. What that word press there means pressure. And remember, I've told you this, and it was my own way of describing it. But you're in a boat, and the boat is sinking. And there's sharks off here in the ocean. All right? And this boat comes to rescue you. But they can't get any closer. And you have to, and maybe, you know, you've got to stretch further than your body can stretch. You've got to move forward and push. Push on it. Push on the word. Don't baby yourself. Don't baby yourself, but take care of yourself. You know, even like, I know there's a sports company and it says, just do it. Well, who is one of the president's wife said, just do it. Well, yeah, you know, and I didn't mean to mock all those, but they used to have those bracelets that said, what would WWJD, what would Jesus do? Oh, big deal. Everybody's wearing them. And I see them. They're not doing it. Are you a doer of the word? You can put stickers on the back of your car. You can put all this stuff. But you got to do it. What would Jesus do? Yeah, well, this is what Jesus would do, but do it. What good does it do to wear the bracelet? Do you know what I mean? We could be a bunch of fakes. Because when the rubber meets the road, you got to do it. You don't know how many times I pushed myself. I pushed myself out of this knee surgery faster because I thought, I am not going to sit there. You know, out of the cancer surgery, not going to sit there. Okay, you know, believe the word. Receive the word. You know what? Another way, and I'll stop right here, though. And that plan of God, there's so many sermons from Marietta. If you go on YouTube and put on the plan of God, I'll tell you what, the plan of God, if you move out of the plan of God for your life because you want to do this or you want to do that, I'll tell you what, I know of a minister right in this town who died. Because he went out of the plan of God. He died. He was my friend. I felt really bad. He died before he was 60. The plan of God for you, you know, sometimes people have said, well, you know, pastors retire. I'm not retiring. I'm sorry. Can't get rid of me until I fall over. But, you know, well, you need to retire and have something on the side there. No, I might have other people be preaching more to, you know, but yeah. You've got to press in. Yes. Press into God. Press into the Word. I'm begging you. Yes. That's the only reason you spend your whole life standing up here telling people. Yes. And you've got to get it and be a doer when something happens. Yes. And all these things, you know what? You get to be this age because of something. See, in the church, you might even qualify for something. And you might have even gone to school for something. But if you don't have a strong devotional life, or you know what, I don't care if you're the best opera singer in the world or if you're the best whatever, you know, whatever, you know, area there is, you know, it might even be accounting. If you don't have a strong devotional life, that doesn't count. You'd rather get somebody who was submitted to God and to the church and didn't know nothing and train them. Because they go further than... because without a strong devotional life, it stinks. It's just like, yeah, you're doing what you can even during your job. And see, even by doing that, the Holy Ghost is leading him. Because one time, I mean, he was just, you even told me you were way out there in like West Point, because that's still the territory. Yeah. Well, it was dead timber, wasn't it? Yeah, because I was, that's, kids would go there when I was, even when I was young, to dead timber. And, yeah, and he just felt led to go to this one area. I won't tell you why. Okay, he had to go to the restroom. Yeah, just a minute. Yes, there is. I'm sorry. Yeah. Anyway, Lonnie did that. He said I could tell why. Okay, so all of a sudden he finds this guy that was wiped out on drugs, you know, and probably had been for days or I don't know. You know, it was a serious, serious arrest. And he was out there. He had to get help. But anyway, the Holy Ghost leads him into those places because he's full of the Word. And all of us have to be full of the Word. When symptoms come, when other things come, it isn't all logic. In fact, God doesn't want the logic and the reasoning or any of it. Or the fear or the doubt or the worry. Keep your peace. Amen. Okay, I quit. I stopped. But all those things cause sickness. Hallelujah. Amen. So there is Bible study in the morning. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what? Okay. Answer it. Okay. That is one of the key things that will help you in your life. Nancy Dufresne wrote a book called Answer It. And anytime something comes, you have to answer it out loud with the Word, and it glows. See, that's one of the reasons I really followed her, because she would give solutions. Whereas I would hear things and I would hear, don't do this and don't do that. And I thought, but how do you overcome? How do you overcome the depression? How do you overcome? And that's what, man, my life changed. Because You apply. You apply things, and you have to answer, but you have to know some word. Has to be inside of you to answer that. A symptom comes in your body, and you answer it. But that's a good book. It's short, too. We actually never finished. We have a little bit left on the local church, which I've got to finish tomorrow, and then go into the book. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, come. Good stuff. Okay. Praise the Lord. You are, Father, I thank you for the word of God, and I ask you to bless them, Lord, that everything that has been said by the Holy Ghost, and not by my own self, but by the Holy Ghost, they will retain and keep, Lord God. And devil, I command you, I bind you, and say that the fruit will remain in their spirit, and you will not steal it, in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, for the blessing of God to be upon each and every one of them, Lord God, according to the word of God, the blessing of Abraham. Will we receive it and accept it? In Jesus' name, amen. Okay.